in the Bible. Well, actually, I have two. 1 Corinthians 13 is really one of my favorite. That's on love, of course. And then Romans chapter 12, and I preach about that a lot. I know I do, and it's such a powerful passage, especially the first two verses, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. But I was looking that over again here recently, and one thing so in the Bible. Well, actually, I have two. 1 Corinthians 13 is really one of my favorite. That's on love, of course. And then Romans chapter 12, and I preach about that a lot. I know I do, and it's such a powerful passage, especially the first two verses, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. But I was looking that over again here recently, and one thing so amazing about the Bible is you can read a passage of Scripture, you can even preach about it many, many times, and then read it again and study it, and something brand new just pops out at you. And that's exactly what happened to me when I was looking at Romans 12 here recently. I began to ask myself, what is Paul really trying to say in this chapter? And what just kind of bounced out at me was, he's trying to tell us how to give ourselves away. And that's what I want us to look at this morning from this chapter. Romans chapter 12. Paul is saying, learn how to give yourself away to God. Now, listen as Brother Ron Parsley reads part of this chapter to us this morning, and see if you can see that same thing. How to give yourself away.
Starting at verse 1, chapter 12 of the book of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use our ministry, and he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality.
Some think Romans is a difficult book, and it is in these in many ways. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul deals with a lot about doctrine and about the difference between the old law and the new law and the Jewish nation and the Gentile nation. But here, beginning in chapter 12, what Paul does is he turns to the practical side of Christian living. And chapters 12 through 16 deal with that, the practical side of Christian living. And Paul starts off here in chapter 12 with the idea of, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is what he is trying to tell us in this whole section here. Learn to give yourself to God. And it's the way he begins it here, he says, I urge you, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, I appeal to you. Now, Paul could have very well said, I command you, and he had the authority to do that. He certainly had the authority to say, I command you. And it would be a good command to give yourself to God, offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. But rather he says, I urge you to do that. And as you begin to read this more and more, you see why. Because it's a love thing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say to do. Paul said, I urge you to love the Lord your God enough to give yourself away. And then he says, by the mercies of God, I appeal to you by the mercies of God. We all are recipients from the mercies of God. If God has done this for us, why shouldn't we do that for him? And he appeals for us to present our bodies, because when all is said and done, that's really all we have. Ourself is all we really have to give to God. There's nothing else we have that we can give to God that enriches God in any way. We are commanded, and that's true, to give back to God of our means, and that's what we just had the opportunity to do a few moments ago. But does that make God any richer? Why, he has it all. It's all his to begin with. The only thing we really have to give to God that he doesn't have is me, myself, I. And then he says that we present our bodies living sacrifices opposed to the dead sacrifices that were offered under the law of Moses, when they brought animals and the priest killed them and offered them on the altars. Instead of that dead sacrifice, Paul is calling for us to give to God a living sacrifice, ourselves as that sacrifice. And then he says it must be holy and acceptable unto God. The RSV says, which is your spiritual worship. The King James Version says, which is your reasonable service. I like that. Give to God, from giving back to God ourselves for what he's given us. Not unreasonable. The ASV says spiritual service. Then NASB says spiritual service of worship. But you get the idea. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then the remainder of the instructions in chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are all based on this idea, this appeal to present our bodies living sacrifices. He just tells us in the rest of these chapters how to do it. How do I give myself away to God? Well, first of all, he tells us here in verse 2 that giving yourself to God means that you do not give yourself to the world. He says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 1 John 15, verses 2 and verse 15, John there tells us, love not the world, neither things in the world. For he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, and one translation says, don't let the world press you into its mold. Someone said we need to be more like a thermostat and less like a thermometer. A thermometer records the temperature. It measures it and records it. We many times are very satisfied just to be thermometer Christians. Just kind of measure the world and be a sample of moral standard. Not bad. Is that good? Yes, good. But it's not real good. What's real good is to be a thermostat. A thermostat not only records the temperature, but it controls it. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light of the world, salt of the earth, a thermostat. And how do we become different? Paul said by the renewing of your mind. It has to start from the heart. We can kind of clean up the outside and it looks pretty good, but it won't last long if it doesn't start from within. It has to come from the heart. And when you do that, the result of that is that you prove what the will of God is and the perfect will of God is. And then to give yourself away, Paul says here in verses 3 through 8, he says to give yourself away means to give your talents to the service of the Lord. He starts off by saying here, I say to every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Now he is not saying here that we should think of ourselves as good for nothing, because that's not true. You are worthwhile to God. You're God made, you're God loved, you're Christ died for. If that doesn't make you special, I don't know what does. We are special to God. But he's just saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I think that means that we shouldn't just discount the fact that we have a purpose here on this earth, and God has a plan for us. And that as a part of his family, a part of his church, we have a responsibility to use the things that God has given us. I think the bottom line is that whatever gifts we have from God, that he deserves the praise for those gifts. And we do not. But we are commanded to use them. We know that every gift comes from God. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. God is the giver of all things. But we have different gifts. Paul says in verse 4, For we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function. We're different. We've got different gifts. And in that, that's a neat thing. It's a good thing. In Brother Larry Combs' sermon on Wednesday night in our summer series, he talked about that very thing, about all of us being alike. How dull would that be? I'm glad we're different. And there are some that do have multiple gifts. Oh, what a wondrous thing it is for some of you can do so many things. But that doesn't mean because I don't have as many gifts as you that I'm not important. Nor does that mean that because I don't have as many gifts as you have, that I shouldn't use what God has given me. He goes on to say here, if your gifts, prophecy, and he's talking about some miraculous things here during this, the first century here. But we can also look, he talks about just normal gifts that we're given. He talks about prophecy, use it. Service, use it. Teaching, use it. Exhortation, use it. Being able to give and contribute to the work of the church, do it. Leadership, be willing to. Mercy, show it. He's just simply talking about using what you have to use. And because these gifts are different, when we put them together, we can have something that's powerful. And so it may not be that your gift is preaching or song leading. But it doesn't mean you don't have a gift. Maybe you can build something. Maybe you can paint something. Oh, by the way, what a great week to use your gift. Whatever it is. Well, I just don't have any. I can't paint anything. Can't build anything. For Vacation Bible School, can you carry out the trash? Sure. Well, they're going to have some trash this week. Carry out the trash. This is an awesome week for you to use your talent. Whether it's teaching, whether it's being in a skit, whether it's making a backdrop, whether it's sweeping the floor or vacuuming when we need to clean up. There is not a single person that can't do something this week in the Vacation Bible School. All you got to do is show up. These folks will put you, somebody put you to work. You'll find something to do. But it must go way beyond just a week of Vacation Bible School. And I think you get the point that Paul is trying to get across here. We are to use our gifts, he says, wholeheartedly, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. That's just Paul's way of saying, go get the job done. Get about the business of serving the Lord. You've been given liberally, give liberally. And do it with diligence. Don't do it because you have to. Paul's going to get to that in just a minute. Do it because you want to. Because you want to use your talent to serve the Lord. You want to give to yourself away. And we are to use our talents for God and for others. Ephesians 4 verse 12 says, for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, in serving one another, that in all things God may be glorified. And then Paul gets to one of my very favorite parts of Romans chapter 12. when he talks about to give yourself away means to give yourself to others by living a life of love. What it appears to me is that most, if not all, of these exhortations relate to this requirement. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. And that goes all the way back to that first verse I talked about a moment ago. That's why Paul said, I appeal to you. Love the Lord your God enough with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind that I don't have to command you to give yourself away. That I don't have to command you to use your talents. Now, we are commanded, don't get me wrong. But Paul just not doing that here. Because why? Because when you love, you want to give. Love wants to give. That's just part of love. In fact, that's what it says about God. Y'all help me out on this one. For God so... That's it. Y'all not used to helping me preach, are you? All right, let's try it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like that. Let's try that again. Let's try this one. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have a one for another. Let's do it again. If you give your body to be burned, and if you sell all that you have and give to the poor, and do not have, it profits you nothing. That is how powerful this thing called love is. Love wants to give. Every time I felt like Pat needed a horse, I got her one. And when she needed a horse trailer, I got her a horse trailer. Love. That wasn't a good one, honey? Oh, okay. That wasn't a good example. How about on our 50th wedding anniversary, I got you a diamond ring. That's better, isn't it? Now, Terry would say that I just had a hole dug so deep I was trying to cover it up. But anyway, that's why we buy our grandkids so much stuff. So much stuff that things they don't even need, we want to buy them for them because we love them. Love wants to give. And if we have this kind of love for God, don't you see what Paul is trying to say? It won't be hard to give. It won't be hard to teach if you can teach. It won't be hard to give of your means if that's something you really have a talent to do and can really help the church by doing. Or to show mercy or encourage somebody. If you're a good encourager, encourage. Why is it not hard to do that? Because you love that person. Love is such a powerful thing. And he goes on to say, all of the rest of this is just about that. Don't let love be hypocrisy. You know, in our world today, what passes for love is really insincere and selfishness. He says, don't let love be with hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Giving preference and honoring one another. Let me just close by just reading the rest of it. I wish we had time to just go over all of it. But if you'll, now that you're kind of awake here on the love thing, let's just read it. Listen to what Paul says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brother love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, striving to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. And that's tough. Wish you hadn't put that one in there, Paul, but you did. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's pretty easy to do sometime. Weep with those who weep. Need to do that. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as lieth within you, if it's possible, do everything you can do to live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. People, go back and look at that again if you want to know how to give yourself away. This morning, will you do that? If you haven't given yourself and your heart in obedience to God by believing in His truth and repenting of your sins and confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, if you haven't done that, you're still withholding the one thing. The one thing you have to give to God, really to give to God that He doesn't have, and that's your heart, your obedience. Paul is saying to you today, I plead with you by the mercies of God that you'll give yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or if we're not truly, if we've been hiding talents, if we've been holding back our faithfulness in attendance, if we've been shortchanging God with our time and our prayers, then you need to give yourself.